Please take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Well-known words, if you've been in church for any length of time. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we've had to come and to sing these songs of praise. Lord, to have the scriptures read to us and explained to us. The opportunity to give back to you as you've given unto us. And Lord, now as we look into your word, may it been said that it was good to have been in the house of the Lord today. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Do you ever read a book or watch a movie and everything is going down the drain? But in the last chapter or following the last commercial, everything turns out for the good. If only life was really like that. Title of our message today, if life was really that simple. But of course, it is not. Especially this year, in the midst of a pandemic, stressed economies, civil and public unrest, and a political division in America. 2020 is not a year that most of us want to repeat anytime soon. And yet 2021 has begun where 2020 left off. Many would say that the cumulative effect of these problems is causing untold misery, divorces, suicides, and domestic violence have all increased. And the economic growth has slowed down and in some areas is declining. Divorces, suicides, and domestic violence have all increased. In the United States, we are dealing with a new way of life that affects our houses of worship, schools, workplaces, travel, entertainment, and even shopping. Does it frustrate you if you can't tell if someone's smiling at you or frowning at you? It's kind of hard, isn't it? Yes. People reportedly are experiencing huge mood swings, along with feelings of anxiety, anger, depression, and sadness. Yesterday, as Pastor Stephen and Rudy and I were taking a hike over here at the Riverland Park, as we approached one man, he got off the sidewalk. And I'm thinking, we're outside for Pete's sake. I don't know who Pete is. But the fact is that people are fearful. In my own case, it has been very frustrating not to be able to visit with my dad over here at Clinton Creek. Porch visits only made things worse for him and for us. You know what a porch visit is? You're on the outside looking through a window at someone on the inside, and he's wanting to come out, and he's wanting us to come in, and it just created frustration. And so I said I wouldn't do any more. I just talked to him on the phone. Not to mention not being able to be with George Farmer or Ethel Sasta or Bob Stafford or Gene McClain during their final days before their deaths. Watching crowds demonstrating, rioting, defacing, and destroying property and shouting obscenities has been very disconcerting. let alone this past election that to me was a national embarrassment. Life is not like those Hallmark commercials or their movies where everything works out and everybody's happy. Yet even in the midst of these difficult times, let me remind you that if you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior and are a born-again believer, we can experience the peace that only our Lord can give. We have something the world does not have. We can have the peace of the Lord. Four thoughts. Number one, focus. Focus. One of the things that we have kept to ourselves is our opinion about the COVID-19 issue. My wife has told me I have to do that. She has banned me from telling you what I really feel. But I dare say that you've kept your feelings probably under wraps also. But we need to keep our focus on the Lord, who we believe is working behind the scenes. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for what? For good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. This did not catch our Lord unawares. He knew it was coming. Let's begin reading at verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Underline that in your Bible if you mark your Bible. Resist the truth. Folks, people today are resisting the truth. Men of corruption or corrupt minds, reprobates concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Let us remain focused on our Lord. Let's keep our eyes on him. Second, worship. Worship. We are to worship our Creator God. We are not here by chance. There was not some big explosion 15 billion years ago. You know, evolution needs time, lots and lots of time. And it still can't come about. It is impossible. Read the bulletin and you'll find another article on creation. I don't want anybody ever to say, well, that church never let me know where they stood. I believe that we have a Creator God. And there is a purpose. And we are to worship our Creator God. When things are at their worst, worshiping God may seem counterintuitive. But that is when we should draw closest to him. During this time, draw close to the Lord. Bible teacher Warren Wiersbe called worship the loving response of the heart to all that God says, does, and is. Do you serve a risen Savior who's in the world today? Do you serve a Lord that is Lord and Master? Now, I'll be honest with you, I do wish some things were different. But I do believe that our God is in control and that all things do work together for good. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Isaiah. Keep your place here, but turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 1. Isaiah 51, verse 1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. We are to worship our Lord. Chapter 55 now. Chapter 55 will begin at verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Can I hear an amen there? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are ye my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, thank God the snow hasn't come yet, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. As you turn to chapter 57, last Monday I gave the funeral there for Gene McClain, and the word was spoken. Now, I don't know what will come of it, but I know this, that God's word will not return void, and that he will use it for his purpose. And I do hope that someday we will learn that someone that was at the funeral, hearing the word of God, took it to heart and maybe even came to know Christ as their Savior. What a blessing that is. But chapter 57 and verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. We are to worship our Lord. Chapter 58, verses 1 and 2. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsake not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice and they take delight in approaching to God. Isaiah would talk to those that were righteous and to those that were unrighteous. But the idea was to worship the Lord. Psalm 95:1 says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. We may not feel like singing, but do it anyways. We are to sing to our Lord. We are to bring praise to him in song. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. You know what America needs to do? Needs to come unto the Lord. Because our help is not in the White House or in the courthouse or in the schoolhouse. It's in the church house. It's where God's people are getting together and worshiping. For God says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am where? in the midst. He's here today. Number three, give. Give. When we talk of giving, most people immediately turn the pastor off because they believe he is going to be asking for money. But giving God our tithes and offerings is only part of what is meant when we talk about giving. In a recent article seen in Israel, My Glory, writer Steve Herzberg wrote, "Give God your time." He continues, "As parents and grandparents, my wife and I love to put smiles on our family's faces. Since I'm a Jewish believer in Jesus, I add a few more smiles by giving presents on Hanukkah as well. But giving our time is different. Time is an asset we all possess in equal amounts. We all have 24 hours each day, and we can choose to offer time to the Lord. How about being a greeter at church? Of course, that means arriving a little bit earlier than normal. Being willing to help in the nursery, or being willing to do some cleanup around the building," unquote. Another opportunity to give is when you give tracts or give a verbal testimony. You give tracts or a verbal testimony. Look for opportunities to share the story of God's grace in your life. That's a form of giving, and we should be willing to give. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Give it to your children. Give it to your grandchildren. You know, while they're still children, they'll still listen. And it could be when they get into their later teens or in their 20s, they may drift away, but you do what you need to do. Because there's nothing better to give our children than the Word of God. We can give them lots of things, but we need to give them the Word of God. They need to be in the house of God. Number four, adopt. How about adopting a Joseph or Paul attitude? How's your attitude today? One of the reasons I married Donna Derringe is her attitude. Now, sometimes it literally drives me nuts. I by nature see the glass half empty. My wife doesn't see the glass half full. My wife sees the glass full. That's just simply the way she is. And as a teenager, I remember thinking, not only was she beautiful, which she still is, But she still has an attitude that I love. Sometimes we're watching something, some video that I've gotten from the library. And that's difficult in these days, too, when you have to call in and order it. And then you have to go pick it up. But that's a different story. But sometimes we're watching something and someone has a negative attitude. And she kind of mutters under her breath, "Oh, their attitude stinks." And I'm thinking to myself, is she saying that to me or is she saying that to the video? Yes. But to adopt a good attitude. In Genesis 37 through chapter 50 of Genesis, it explains how Joseph's brothers sold him to the Ishmaelites and lied about that to their father Jacob. Joseph became a slave and later was falsely accused and imprisoned. Later, he rose to power, became the second most powerful man in Egypt, and later still, he reconciled with those same brothers that sold him into slavery. And through the long ordeal, Joseph remained faithful to the Lord. Can I ask you a question? Who has it harder? Joseph, when he lived, or us that are living through the COVID pandemic? He had it a lot harder, right? Thursday, I'm cooking dinner downstairs in the lower kitchen, and the lights went out. Don't you love electricity? And in the basement, when the lights are out, it is what? Dark. Now, Pastor Stephen says, well, that's when you need your phone. My phone wasn't on my body. I came out of the kitchen and ran right into a wall. I worked my way up the steps, and yes, it was dark upstairs too. So I got a flashlight, went downstairs, and found it's like a lantern, but it's battery operated, and we got that working, so we had some light, and we were getting ready to come over to the church to finish the meal on the stove here. And I went outside, and it's been about 47 minutes. And you know, if you have a garage door opener, what happens when the electricity goes off? Well, you can't get out, right? So I pulled the lever. I pulled the lever to make it so I could open it. And you know what happened? The power came on. I brought the power on. Don't you love electricity? I mean, you know, aren't you glad the lights are on? It's marvelous. Folks, we have it so good and we complain all the time. I tell you what. Through his long ordeal, Joseph remained faithful to the Lord, telling his astonished brothers, quote, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Chapter 50, verse 20. The right attitude. We see the Apostle Paul's attitude in the letter he sent from his prison cell to the church at Rome, telling believers there the thoughts we read today from Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Folks, Christians would be fed to the lions. They would be oiled and put on poles and used as streetlights at night. They were killed left and right for the cause of Christ. And yet they kept the right attitude. Both men knew their difficult circumstances were not lost on God. They knew he had a purpose for them. Our Lord operates the same way in our lives, which leads us to the Jesus words to his disciple when they desperately needed encouragement. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Does that excite you that someday we will be with Jesus? What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. In conclusion, now don't get excited. My conclusion is almost a page long. Perhaps your life is not going at this moment in time as you would like. Maybe your Christmas season was less than you expected. Maybe your new year looks bleak and unfulfilling. But that does not mean that you cannot keep yourself focused on the love of God. It does not mean that you should stop worshiping our Lord and Savior. It doesn't mean that you should stop giving of your time for the cause of Christ. It does not mean you should take your eyes off what the Lord has purposed for you. Remember, the Lord was tempted just like us, but he remained faithful to his task. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Corrie ten Boom, a Dutch Christian who rescued Jewish people during the Holocaust and narrowly escaped the Nazi gas chambers at the Ravensbrück concentration camp, famously said, "There is no panic in heaven, only plans." Folks, there is no panic in heaven. God has a purpose for what is going on. Let's remember the song of Helen Holworth Lemon. "O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Shall we stand together? I do not know your spiritual condition today. I would imagine the majority of you know Christ as your Savior. But if by chance you do not know him, may I encourage you this day to turn your life over to him. And if you are a born-again believer and you are maybe struggling with some issues, keep your eyes on the Lord. Be a testimony for the cause of Christ. And may he say of us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." As we have our invitation song and we sing 379, "Almost Persuaded," if you'd like to come and pray here at the altar, or if you can't kneel down to pray sitting on the front pew, or maybe you just like to sit where you're at and pray, asking the Lord to give you strength and encouragement during these days. Remember, these are not the worst days in the history of mankind. Difficult times, yes. But through it all, our Lord is with us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your nearness. We thank you for the encouragement from the Word of God. And Lord, we ask that you would bless this invitation time. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.